So glad that you're here this morning on this Christmas Eve morning. You know, we're celebrating in the Advent season, and we talked about it before. Advent means coming, and I think we get the part that we're remembering and celebrating the coming of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, but it's also the preparing of ourselves for the return of Jesus Christ. And so in this little series I've been doing, I've been wanting to talk to you about preparing ourselves while living in the in-between. We are living between the birth of Jesus Christ and the return of Jesus Christ. And as we are waiting for Christ to come again, what does God want us to do in the in-between? How do we live in the in-between? And I think God says, in the in-between, let there be joy. Let there be joy. I love Christmas, as you know, and I know all the babies are in here this morning, and so that brings me joy. So don't get anxious about that. You know, if you need to move around, that'll be awesome. But I just love the whole Christmas time because it's when God begins to remind me that I can have joy no matter what's going on in my life. It's so much so that I can wear my Christmas socks. How many of you have your Christmas socks on? All right, let's hold them up. Awesome, awesome. I hope you do. But one of the things I love is you guys send us Christmas cards every Christmas, and many of you do, and I have a Christmas card bucket that I keep from one year to the next, and so I just threw away your old cards and begin to put them in a nice place, and it really is kind of neat for me to look back at last year's cards as I begin to take them out and as I begin to replace them with this year's cards, and it just gives me an opportunity to be praying for you guys throughout the year. I keep that bucket there the whole year at my desk at home, and I, from time to time, I'm able to just pull out and be praying for you guys. And so I love Christmas cards. Two of my favorite Christmas cards of this Christmas are these right here. Here's one. That's the joy of Christmas right there, right? We force our kids to sit in Santa's lap, and they start crying. When this one, Santa's crying. He's had enough. He's had enough as well. And then this one here, I love this Christmas card. It says, a virgin birth I can believe. But finding three wise men? I don't know about that. And I love all the children have jokes at Christmas time. This is the one that made my favorite children's joke of this Christmas. What do you call an obnoxious reindeer? What do you call an obnoxious reindeer? Rudolph, of course, Rudolph. It's funny. Come on, Reed. It's funny. And then I came across some kids' letters to Santa. This one says, Dear Santa, how are you and the reindeer doing? I am doing fine, and I want a new football game and a football because my little brother always tries to steal mine. He may look sweet, but he is really the devil. I also want a remote control truck. Love Evan. And then this one here says, maybe I can read this. Dear Santa, give the cookies to your stomach. I love the way he writes there, to your stomach. And the carrots to the reindeer. I wish I was eating the cookies. Isaiah. And so I love Christmas, and I love all that comes with that, and it brings me joy. And so this morning, let me just say to you, let there be joy. I begin to think about, I know many of you are anxious about or excited about what you're going to get for Christmas, your Christmas gifts and everything. And I begin to think about my favorite gifts, Christmas gifts throughout my life. I remember when I was like 8 years old, I got a bicycle, but it was a 5-speed. Not 10-speed, not 20-speed, but 5-speed, and the gears were right there on the, any of you old guys remember that? Man, it was like, whoop, 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 5 speeds, I don't even think it really did anything, but it looked like it did. It was awesome. And then, of course, when I was about 11, I got my first BB gun, and I was the man, I had my little Red Ryder BB gun, and in which I, that same year, I immediately went out and accidentally shot my sister, who was like a year old, and we had to take her to the hospital and have emergency surgery. Yeah, so I didn't. My dad took my BB gun away from me, but it's a true story. And then, of course, I can remember in middle school, like eighth grade, when I really began to notice that there were other people living in the world besides me and dudes. You know, if you know what I mean. I got this big old bottle of Brut. Hey, anybody got any Brut? Remember the Brut? Come on, man. I think that's what attracted Kim to me. It was my Brut. Started wearing my Brut in eighth grade. It's like, woo, what's that smell? It's money. It's money coming. Yeah. But here's what I know. Here's what I know. Jesus is by far the best gift I have ever received. And the salvation that comes with it. I accepted and received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior when I was 12 years old at Christmas time. So it's always a very special time for me because of that. And December 16th, I followed him in baptism. I can honestly say that Christmas for me is more than just the acknowledgement of the incarnation of God. It's more than God coming to live on earth. What it really is for me is the joyful celebration of the fact that God wants to live on the inside of us. That He wants to live on the inside of me. And here's what I've learned over my many years walking in relationship with my God. 45 years, it's amazing to me. This is what I know. When Jesus lives in you, joy comes out of you. Joy comes out of you. And so I wanted to start this morning as we look at this message of let there be joy, with the definition of joy, or my definition of joy this morning is this. Joy is defined as the positive confidence I feel from knowing and trusting God regardless of the circumstances, regardless of what may or may not happen in the details of my day. I think God's priority is to produce joy into your life and into my life. And when that kind of joy comes aboard your life, it brings good things with it. It brings enthusiasm for life. It brings determination to hang in there, a strong desire to be an encouragement and a servant to other people around you. It's the kind of joy that gives us hope as we face the future and peace, a peace that passes all understanding and really true contentment. True contentment in spite of all of our problems. Jesus came into this world to bring us joy. And I really believe that word deserves a closer look, because when you look at it, just your first glance at it, it kind of looks easy to kind of write off. To kind of write off joy as something that's just not possible for our life, especially in the world that we live in today. But 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says this: always be joyful. Always be joyful. And so we really only have two choices. We can be joy takers, or we can be joy givers. And as followers of Christ, we are always to be joy givers. Always. Always. And you look at that verse, And maybe you're here this morning and you've had a particularly tough week. And if you're really honest, you look at that verse, and if you're like me, some weeks, kind of bugs me. It's hard for me to understand it because, really, always be joyful, God? Always be joyful? God, you don't know the week that I have, that I've had. I don't want to always be joyful. I'm not sure I can always be joyful. And for some of you in here this morning, you've had that kind of week, or you're come in and you're feeling bad, and you've had just a rotten week. And you feel rotten. You don't have any joy. And you have a right to feel that way. And nobody, you might say, nobody's going to take that away from me, because that's the way I feel. That's what's going on in my life. And then we sing Joy to the World, right? At Christmas. To the world? That means everyone. That means everywhere. I mean, is that really possible? Joy in this world? There are a couple of things, I think, that keep us from feeling like that's a possibility. The first is this, things that we face on a daily basis. The first is this, the bad that shouldn't happen. the bad that shouldn't happen. I mean, we all have to admit that a lot of the bad things that happen in our lives, we bring them on ourselves, right? Maybe most of the bad things. But there are bad things that happen to us and in this world that just shouldn't happen. That just shouldn't happen. We didn't bring it on ourselves. No one deserved it. I mean, that person was innocent. And so because of that stuff, we wonder, can joy really happen in this world? Alongside that, you put the second thing, not only the bad that shouldn't happen, but the good that doesn't happen. The good things that we want to happen that don't happen in our lives. The dreams maybe that we've had that doesn't seem to be able to come true. The heart of a person that we hope to change that never seems to change. The prayer that we pray that doesn't seem to get answered, at least not the way we want it to get answered. I mean, you look at these real life truths that we have to face every day, and you realize if joy is going to work, you can't wait for perfect circumstances to happen. Because we don't live in a world of perfect circumstances. So if joy is going to work, it has to work in an imperfect, often ugly world. And that's what the message of Christmas, I think, is all about. That's what it's all about. God came to this often ugly world, and in Jesus Christ, He told us that joy can happen even here, even now, even in this kind of world, even in your kind of world, joy can happen. And because of the kind of the world that we live in, we have some choices. I mean, you can choose to be a discouraged person because there's a lot of discouragement in this world. You can choose to be an angry person because there's a lot to be angry about in this world. You can choose to be a cynical person because there's a lot to be cynical about in this world. But the message of Christmas is this: because Jesus Christ came, you and I can choose to be a joyful person. Because there's a lot to be joyful about. And it's a new choice. It's kind of a new day because of what Jesus Christ has done. And so how do you choose that joy every day? I think it happens when we begin to focus on God and only what He can do. The joy that He can bring. So we're going to look at some guys they're going to show us how to choose joy today. Some guys who were part of the first Christmas, the shepherds, they were out in their fields near Bethlehem, and God brought them a message of joy. And so they made some choices, some simple choices of the same kind of choices that you and I can make today that can bring joy into our lives. So three choices real quickly. First one is this. You can choose to listen. Have you ever really been down and kind of discouraged, and all of a sudden you got a phone call and you pick up your phone and immediately it's good news on the other end, and all of a sudden, even for a moment, your spirits are kind of lifted up, and you know, and you have this joy, this excitement inside of you. When that happens, you just kind of see the power of good news and what good news has to bring into our how it brings joy into our lives. It's the kind of thing that happened to these shepherds on the first Christmas. If you have your Bibles, you can look at Luke 2, the Christmas story. Luke chapter 2, verse 10 says, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people.'" Not just for the shepherds, but for all. This message of good news. I mean, these guys are just out there watching their sheep. I mean, that's a pretty boring job. It's at night, so the sheep are laid down and they're sleeping, so it's even more mundane. And you know, it wasn't a very exciting time. And all of a sudden, in that routine, that ordinary part of their day, God brought them a message of joy. Just like I think He wants to do to some of us today. God wants to bring you a message of joy. In the middle of that life, God came and said, hey, I want to bring you some good news. And what was the good news? That Jesus came. The good news is that Jesus Christ wants to make a difference in our lives. The good news is the fact that Jesus Christ came to this earth to tell us that God loves us. I mean, the good news is that God offers forgiveness for all the wrong things we've done. And he offers us a new sense of direction in our lives. The good news is that God cares for the struggles that you're going through and can always make a difference in the direction of your life. The good news is that God has invited you to have a relationship with Him. He's invited you to discover what that's like. It's as if He's already called, right? That's what Christmas is saying. That God called, that He came to earth in Jesus. He called you. Maybe He left a voicemail, and now He's waiting for you to call back. He's inviting you. So my question is, have you done that? I mean, He's already sent that message to you. He's waiting for you to reply. I mean, it'd be strange if you picked up your cell phone, and it goes off, and you picked it up and looked at it, and it said, God. I mean, that'd freak you out. That'd be pretty crazy. That would be a different experience. But what would you do if that happened? Well, it has happened. That's what Christmas is all about. And the way you respond is you talk to Him. You pray with Him. God says, I want this good news to be a part of your life. And you say, God, I want that as well. Good news will bring joy into your life. I think one of the problems is the joy only seems to last as long as the good news lasts, right? I mean, have you seen that? Sometimes it only seems to last for a few moments. And so how do we find that kind of joy that can last the rest of your life? How do you find the good news that can last the rest of your life through any circumstances of life? You look at your life and say, my life is filled with problems. Is there any good news in the problems that I'm struggling with? There is if you know Him. James 1 says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Joy isn't in the troubles, and we've talked about that a lot. But, I'm not joyful that I have troubles. I mean, that would be silly to say that, but the joy is in the fact that God can work even through the struggles of my life and put my faith on Him. And He begins to help me grow, to help me change, to help me become more and more like Him. And that's good news. Joy is not having perfect circumstances. Otherwise, none of us could have joy. Joy is not smile and the world will smile with you. Joy is not every cloud has a silver lining, because some clouds don't. Some clouds are big and dark and thunder clouds, followed by another big and black and dark thunder cloud, right? Aren't you glad you come to be encouraged this morning? I mean, but it's the truth. That's the truth of life. And so how do you find joy in that? When things aren't going well, joy is not having perfect circumstances. Joy is applying God's truth and God's power to our imperfect circumstances in this imperfect world. I've given this illustration before, but I don't know how many of you as parents have ever gone to Chuck E. Cheese or to the Family Fun Center and played Whack the Alligator game. Anybody ever played Whack the Alligator? Is that what it's called? I don't know what it's called. Whack the Alligator. That's what I call it. Let's go play Whack the Alligator. And you take the little thing, and the alligator comes up, and you whack him, right? And he goes back in, you whack him, And the more you whack him, the more tickets you get, and the tickets just start coming out. It's pretty awesome. And you just keep whacking him and whacking him, right? And sometimes he gets faster and faster, and sometimes he comes out, and what we would do, we would all help each other, right? We'd get there, and we'd start whacking him together. Even if you didn't have a whacker, you would hit the gator, whatever, and probably. But I think about that. You keep whacking the problems in your life with the truth of God's Word and know that it is working even in the midst of the problems. Even in the midst of the problems. And sometimes you can't do it on your own. Sometimes you need other people, other family members, other people in your life group to come alongside of you and whack you. He goes in and he comes back out, but it takes the bite away. And you're able to bring joy as God works through your life in the midst of your problems. The good news is that God loves you. The good news is that God wants to be a part of your life, to forgive you and give you an eternity with Him. And that's good news. And when you listen to that good news, whatever else is happening in your life, the result is joy. The result is joy. And then, you know, the second thing they did is they chose to obey. I mean, they heard God tell them to go and find a baby wrapped in a blanket, laying in a manger and feeding in a feeding trough, right? And so they just did it. Verse 15 says, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Why did they go? Because they believed what God had said. And because they believed what God had said, they went to Bethlehem. You ever thought about that? They could have spent the rest of their lives wondering. They could have said, I don't know if that's true. And they just could have stayed in the fields outside of Bethlehem and never gone and always wondered. What would have happened that night if we had gone to see what the angels told us about? Well, they did. They trusted God and they obeyed and went. And I think there's a lot of us sometimes, it's easy to get stuck in the fields outside of Bethlehem. And you hear God say to you, trust me with this in your life. Trust me with this decision. Trust me with this relationship. But you just stay there and you wonder, what would have happened if I would have obeyed God's voice? And so maybe this has happened for you. And maybe it's happened many years ago when you didn't obey His voice to go to someone, to share with someone. I'm here to tell you this morning that it's never too late to trust Him. I had a gentleman this morning even tell me about hearing God speaking to his heart early in the morning one morning to reach out to his brothers. And he obeyed and he did it. And God showed up and began to bring some reconciliation there. Listen, it's never too late to trust Him. It's never too late to go to Jesus Christ and find hope in Him. Never too late. You don't have to wonder any longer. Today may be your day to trust Him. To trust Him. Today may be your day to ask Him to help you with a decision, to give you strength in that relationship. You don't have to wonder. I think Christmas is the method that joy can happen in your lives right now. And joy happens in our lives when you and I decide to do what God has said to do. Joy comes when you hear the good news. Joy comes when you do what God says to do. And then finally, joy comes when you choose to tell. When you tell someone else the good news about what God's doing in your life, it brings joy. A principle of joy is it can't be bottled. If you try to put a cap on joy, it sours every time. It has to be shared. That joy has to be shared. And these shepherds immediately shared the good news about what God was doing. Look in verse 17. It says, when they'd seen Him, the baby Jesus, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. They went out and immediately told everybody else. And that's what God wants us to do, to tell someone else. It's what you and I need to do. Psalms 107 says, let them sacrifice thanks offerings and tell of His works with songs of joy. With joy, tell other people what God has done in your life. Tell someone in your family. Tell someone at your workplace. Tell someone at your school. Joy happens when we share with someone the good news. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. There's almost this indescribable burst of joy that happens when you share with someone else the good news of what God has done in your life because you care about them. You're concerned about them. You want them to experience that same good news. And when you share with them, you can't describe the kind of joy that comes out of that. Luke 15 tells us that there's such a burst of joy when we tell the good news to other people, right? You know, I tell you, that verse says, I tell you, there's more joy in heaven over one sinner who changes his heart and life than over 99 good people who don't need to change. When you tell someone the good news, when you've accepted it, and it begins to change everything in you, this incredible change, God says, go and share that with other people. Telling someone else that they can experience that same good news in their life and begin to experience that same change that you've experienced. Not every circumstance, not every trouble, not every problem, but everything else about you can change. You can be forgiven. You can have a fresh start in life. God can give you new strength for your struggle and a new hope for your future. And that's what joy is about. Joy is a choice. And I look out and I see some of you and your faces, and some of you are going through difficult days and real struggles, but your life is still filled with joy. And it's amazing to me. You've chosen to have joy even in difficult circumstances. In spite of the circumstances, you're listening to the good news and you're doing what God says, and then you're going and telling other people about that. You've chosen to set your heart on the kind of joy that only God can bring into your lives. That's where joy comes from. You choose to hear something and do something and say something. You hear the good news, you do what God says, and you tell other people. I mean, just think about that. What if this year, you know and you've experienced the good news of Jesus coming into your life, and God is saying, hey, I want you to step out, and I want you to begin to share that phrase. What if this year, this coming year, you spent less money so that you could give more? What if tomorrow, after Christmas morning, what if tomorrow afternoon you just decided, hey, we're going to go to the waiting rooms at the hospital and just give out Christmas candy to those that are waiting there? Just spreading joy, the joy of Jesus. What if you went to nursing homes and rehab centers and just started maybe singing carols or giving out something to them and just loving on the people? What if you went to the Waffle House? You know, they're open on Christmas Day. So you go to the Waffle House and you order a little bit of food, but you give a big honking tip and just some encouraging words and share the joy of Christmas. What if you went to the firehouses or the police stations and gave out Christmas cookies? What if you and I, in this coming year, what if we decided to be joy givers instead of joy takers? What if we decide, okay, God, I know the good news and how you have changed me. And I hear you saying, go and share that with others. And God, this year, I'm going to look, God, I want to ask you to guide me and direct me. Holy Spirit, help me to be a joy giver in this coming year. Because this is what I know. When joy lives in you, when Jesus lives in you, the joy, His joy, will come out of you. So let there be joy. Not based on circumstances, but based on Jesus Christ. It's in the Lord that you and I can find joy that really lasts. He's already called you. He's connected with you, because that's what Christmas is all about. He wants to have a relationship with you. Will you choose joy today? Let there be joy, and let it begin in you. Pray with me, please. Father, we just thank you for your presence here in this place this morning. And Father, today, maybe there's many of us in here, God, that we just need to say to you today, I trust you. That I realize this Christmas thing is not about religion. God, it's about a relationship with you. And that's what Christianity, that's what Christmas is all about, God. And so I just need to trust you, God. I trust you with the wrong things that I've done. I ask you for your forgiveness. Maybe for you, you just need to trust him and for the direction of your life in this coming year. And you've been thinking about this for a long time, but maybe right now it's hitting you for the first time here in this moment. And God's gift to you this Christmas is the gift of good news. That he wants a relationship with you. He wants to guide you and direct you, to give you his wisdom. And right now, you can just begin to talk to him in prayer. Say, God, I hear you. I know the good news of my relationship with you. Say, God, I want to trust you. And this year, God, I want to share the good news in the way that I live my life, in the way that I go into my work community, in the way that I live in this community of faith. God, I want you to be not just a part of my life, but be the center of my life. And so, God, right now, I accept the gift of joy. May that joy bring your strength and your power into my heart and to my life. Right now, God, I give you all of me. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Begin to produce your joy in me. And allow me, give me the courage to share that joy with all those around me. The good news that you love us. And you sent your Son so that we could be forgiven and in a forever relationship with you. So God, come and live in us and bring your joy. Let there be joy in our lives, O God. And let it begin in me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.